Well, good morning to all of those that didn't hear the first one. We're so happy that you are all here. I know I am. So I pray that this morning will be a blessing for you. I don't know if many of you knew, but back in 2009, there was this show on MTV called Bully Beatdown. And the idea was that victims will try to get some sort of revenge on their victimizer. Well, they will submit their stories in hopes to get them, well, beaten down, right? The show host, the name was Jason Mayhem Miller, will challenge the bully to fight a mixed martial art professional. And you might be thinking, why in the world will someone put him or herself, because yes, there were women bullies as well, through that? The answer, money. Of course, you knew that, right? They were given the chance to win $10,000 depending on their performance against the fighter, and any money that they did not win will go to the victim. All right, and I'm not giving all the details because, you know, you can always Google that up, but I bring that up because at some point in my life, specifically when I was in middle school, I wish something like that existed, but not necessarily to have, you know, my bullies in national TV getting beat down. Well, no, that's not the right way to think it, right? But the thing is that sometimes the fighter will introduce him or herself to the bully as a friend of the victim. And I'm like, I could have used a friend like that when I was in middle school, right? And some of you this morning might be thinking, $10,000, I think I could fight a professional MMA fighter for that kind of money. And no, you can't. Well, you could, but you're not going to win any money. That's what I mean, right? But back to the story. This past election season, my family and I drove my mom to cast her vote, and it was on my previous middle school, right? And I thought out loud, because I said, oh man, I hated this place. And my kids were there, and they listened to it, right? And they say, why? And you know, it was because of those experiences. I remember one time I was walking to one of my classrooms as a freshman, un prepa, that's the way we say in Puerto Rico, and it wasn't in the main building. I would have to go out the main building to the back of the school and to the annex building. There was a group of like three other students there waiting for los prepas, for the freshmen, and they wanted to make us look ridiculous by dancing. And I thought back then that I was smarter than them, and I went to the leader, and he stopped me, and I said, well, man, the thing is that I don't know how to dance. He said, no, you can do whatever you want. And I told him, well, if you show me, maybe I could do it. And the victim made the bully dance ridiculously. And thank God the teacher came out at that precise moment and called us to go into to the classroom, right? And I wish every story was like that, but it wasn't. Another time I remember I was walking out of the same classroom, going back to the main room, to the main building, I'm sorry, and someone left a service hatch open. And bullies were inventive, let's say, and they were throwing kids inside that place and closing the latch. So I was coming out of my room, and they caught me. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to let them drag me literally there, so I went willingly, right? And I remember I jumped in, and they closed the latch on top of me, and it was pitch black. And maybe it wasn't as amusing as they expected because they let me out fairly quickly. And the truth is, guys, that these experiences can stay with us through the rest of our lives, you know? And that's why my experience in middle school wasn't that great, right? I survived it. I didn't like it at all. And the thing with bullies is that they are everywhere. And it can get you even in your adult life. At college, maybe at work, they call it moving, I think it is, when it's in a work environment. And I think it could be more than people. It could be situations. Maybe for you, it's that sense of procrastination that you don't seem to be able to shake off, and it's that thing that doesn't allow you to get ahead on your schoolwork. Or maybe for you it's a strange relationship with your spouse where you don't seem to know them anymore. Or maybe your kid is going through a situation in their life that simply breaks your heart. What is that situation that drags you down, that causes you to be depressed? It could be many things. And I'm convinced, and I don't want to over-spiritualize things, that the chief bullies and his minions are behind it. All right? The Bible tells us that we are in a war not against flesh and blood, but spiritual things. And he is a defeated enemy. The Bible tells us that he's a lion, but he's on a leash, meaning that if you don't get close enough, he cannot harm you, right? And we have all heard how to face this enemy and his minions, because they are committed to make you suffer physically through bad habits, right, or bad decisions, or emotionally. The Bible also tells us that he's the one going in front of God, accusing you, accusing me, reminding us everything that we've done wrong. And sometimes those words sound so loud in our hearts, right? But listen to what James in chapter 4, 7 says. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what's the problem? Why do we sometimes feel defeated? Why do we sometimes feel that there is this one thing that we're not able to get over with? Let me start asking you, how is your submitting to God? Because sometimes we think that we can handle things, and we go at it on our own, by ourselves. And when we do ask for help, sometimes the first place we go is away from God and away from his people. And don't get me wrong, I'm one that advocates for professional assistance if the situation requires it, but there is no professional in the face of earth that can help you the way that your loving Father can. Okay? So I have to say that we're not the first, or you're not the first, to go at it on their own, right? We're going to be reading from the chapter 19 of the book of Acts. You can look for it. We're going to be on page 139 in the red books in front of you. The last part of it, it's divided New and Old Testament. Page 139. And a little background story to this point. You know, Paul has been blessed by God, and his ministry has been doing amazing things. You know, God has been doing amazing things through him, and he gets to Ephesus, right? And that's where we meet the story. You know, Paul is preaching the gospel, and he has changed his strategy of adding disciples to multiplying disciples. How? He went to a place and he taught disciples how to share the faith and do it themselves, to the point that verse 10 tells us that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Okay, by the way, that's one of our values as a youth ministry. A disciple multiplication strategy guides it. You know, that's what we believe in. So, but we're going to start reading on verse 11, and you will see that there were a group of Jewish exorcists that heard about it, and it says that they were the seven sons of Seba. I imagine that's short for Sebastian. I don't know. Anyways, in verse 11, it says, that was a joke, guys. Anyways, not a good one, evidently. So verse 11, page 139, says this: God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that when the handkerchief or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, their diseases left them, and the evil spirit came out of them. Like I said, amazing works was God doing through Paul and handkerchief and aprons, right? But then we see on verse 13, then some itinerant Jewish exorcists tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaimed. You see there the first problem. They were using a second-hand knowledge to do this, okay? And some of you here this morning, and some of the people that are going to be listening to this, are using a secondhand knowledge of Jesus. You're depending on the pastor's relationship with Christ. Or you're depending on your parents' relationship with Jesus. Or even depending on your spouse's relationship with God. And that simply won't cut it. So it says, verse 14, seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Seba, or Sebastian, were doing this. And listen to this. You have to look at this, because this is one of those stories that you say, is that really in the Bible? Read this. Verse 15, it says, but the evil spirit said to them in reply, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered them, and so overpowered them that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Wow. I mean, imagine that. Picture that. No Jackie Chan, Steven Seagal movie, right? One guy against seven grown men. They were, you know, are we going to take this guy down? And he leaped on them, overpowered them, and they ran out of the house. Talk about a beatdown, right? They got their neck handed to them, right? So there are two types of individuals in these stories. One like Paul, the handkerchief and aprons, and the others like the seven sons of Seba. And it's all about who you know. You see, Paul had the experience with the risen Lord. You all know that story. He was on his way to Damascus to incarcerate Christians, and he saw Jesus. And he grew in that intimacy. He grew closer to him with every experience, good and bad. He always kept his eyes on Christ. He knew Jesus. Then we have the Jewish exorcists that were looking for the next thing, for whom Jesus was only as a name to throw around. And some of us work like that too. We're just looking for the next thing, the next book, the next speaker, the next pastor, the next church, the next song to help us face our demons. And it's a secondhand knowledge that won't cut it. You see, these Jewish exorcists were used, and we're going to see that in a minute, they were used to have these incantations. They would just read and spell out like, you know, Harry Potter and that kind of thing, and the magic will happen, right? So they say, Jesus, look at what's going on when Paul uses that name, so let's use Jesus for now and see what happens with this evil spirit. And this reminds me, for me, the scariest passage on all the Bible. It's found in Matthew. You don't have to look for it, but listen closely. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. On that day, that means when you die, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, like the sons of Seba was trying to do, and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. It's all about who you know. And some of us approach like the son of Seba with a secondhand knowledge of Jesus. And like I said, that won't cut it, and you will probably be keep getting your beat down. You will never be able to make the devil and his demons flee from you because you're not simply submitting to God. And that's the why we submit to God, to be free, truly free from our struggles, our demons. John 8:36 says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Don't you want to be free? Come to Jesus. The how you do that is the gospel. So pay attention, because I don't want to hear some of you out there then asking, what is all about Christianity? And then you're answering, it's about living a good life. It's about doing the good for one another. No, it's not about that. Christianity is different. It's not what you have to do, it's what already been done. So this is the gospel. First, recognize that God made you and you did not make yourself. Repent, which means change the way you think about sin, self, and Savior. For the way that God sees sin, recognize that it separates you from a holy, flawless God. Self, understand that you cannot be good enough to save yourself. And Savior, putting the whole weight of trust in Jesus' death and resurrection. What do I mean by that? Full trust. You have this, right? You have to put the whole weight of your life on Jesus' work. Am I trusting this bench to carry my weight right like this? No. I'm trusting myself. Not even like this completely, because if it breaks, at least I can, you know, jump out of it. What Jesus wants you to do is to repent and do this. All you, all in, Jesus. I'm yours, my life is yours, and whatever you want to do with me, I'll do. Amen. Thank you. Repent. Change the way you think about sin, self, and Savior. Put your whole weight on Jesus' work, not what you can do. All right? And some of you don't know Jesus this morning. Some of you are still doing like this. Yeah, I'll go to church once in a while, or even every Sunday. I'll volunteer for the choir and the Sunday school, not with the youth, because that's where Gustavo is working, and kind of crazy. But I'll do, you know, whatever the pastors ask me. I fold some chairs. I'll bring some, you know, whatever for the fellowship. But you're not trusting Jesus completely. Look at me, how much money I give. Look at me, how nice I look on Sunday mornings. That's not Christianity, guys. That's work. And yes, the Bible says that God has prepared work, good works for you to do, but it's out there. It's out there where you are every day, at school, at work, with your family that don't know this good news. Because you are forgiven. You can be forgiven. You can have your demons flee from you if you submit to God. First step, guys, repent and put your trust in Christ. Because if you don't do that, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And I love what happened after the beatdown. And it's on the rest of chapter 19. And just picture this. And I really hope that at least one of these men repented and put their trust in Christ after that, because I really want to meet them when we get to heaven. Right? Dude, what's up with that? Imagine that. You're like in Ephesus, one of the busy streets, and you're minding your own business, and then out of the sudden, seven grown men run by you, naked and all wounded. That's something that you would like to forget, right? But the thing is that the Bible tells us this. When this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, kind of, you know, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Instagram, and everybody knew about it. You can't imagine. I guess these people never stepped foot in Ephesus again. So anyways, both Jews and Greeks, everyone was awestruck, and the name of the Lord Jesus was praised. Also, many of those who became believers confessed and disclosed their practices. A number of those who practiced magic collected their books and burned them publicly. When the value of these books were calculated, it was found to come to 50,000 silver coins. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And guys, sometimes we read the Bible and it seems that we are in a hurry. But stop a little bit and grasp what happened here. It wasn't only that lives were transformed, the whole social economical structure in Ephesus was transformed. This was the way that people used to make their life, earn their living, I should say. And they recognized Jesus, they put their full trust in him, and they say, you know what, I don't care if I don't have a work tomorrow. I know this is not God's will for my life, and I'm going to renounce it. Not only renounce it, but publicly renounce it. They made a bonfire, and they danced around 50,000 silver coins worth of magic books. And this is the truth, guys. God's work is going to be accomplished, regardless. But you have to ask yourself, what side are you standing on? Are you standing on the side of Paul and the disciples, where God's work is going to be accomplished through you for his glory? Or are you going to be standing on the side of the son of Sceva, where God's work is going to be accomplished in spite of you and to your shame? That's a decision we all have to make. If you haven't made that choice, today is as good as any day. So I ask you, I pray that if any of you right here this morning do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you will do so today. Because like I said, guys, there's nothing else that matters. And I don't care how much good you do, this is the work that you have to do. At the end of the day, guys, at the end of your life, it's all about who you know. So I'm going to pray. And I would love if everybody could bow their heads and pray for me. And if this is you and the Holy Spirit is telling you something that you haven't heard before, or maybe today it makes sense in a different way, and you would like to tell Jesus right now, I'm yours. I'm yours. Would you please raise your hand? I would like to pray for you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. If you feel like you're being battling against some demons for a good chunk of your life, and you seem to not be able to get ahead of that battle, I ask you to submit to God this morning. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for another wonderful morning. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you give us to respond to your message. Father, I pray that this message won't stay within these walls, that your Holy Spirit will bring it deep down in the hearts of those that are listening. And their life will be committed to your cause for the glory of your name. Father, I know I'll be content with being a handkerchief used by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that everyone here will find their purpose and walk the walk that you want them to do. Holy Spirit, we are at your mercy. Please move in our life, move in our midst, move in the life of those around us, and please complete this prayer and take it to the Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.